I had to let go and really like surrender every area of my life that I was trying to control. We weren't designed to have to do it all on our own in life. We weren't designed to have to curate this good life by ourselves and to have to figure it out alone.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited for you to listen in to this podcast today. I flew to Austin and recorded a bunch of podcasts, and one of my incredible guests just happened to be Cezanne Hendricks, who I also had the opportunity of meeting her before this at a dinner with a bunch of couples in Austin, Texas, which was so much fun. There is no better way to get to know people than to be there with all of our partners hanging out and just having a beautiful meal and talking about all things life and entrepreneurship. My God, you guys, Cezanne and her incredible husband just have a beautiful following, an incredible brand, and she has an awesome book out in the world. She is a globally recognized content creator and influencer. And throughout her career, she's graced the covers of Cosmopolitan, Harper's Bazaar, People Style Watch, and Elle. And she's been featured in media outlets, including Forbes, E, and CBS. I was like, okay, hi, I'm sitting with a celebrity. This is so much fun. She's the co-host of the Good Life podcast with her husband, Stevie, who, you guys, they are like real life comedians online. And she is the author of A Real Good Life. And on this episode, we talk about how she's built a large following online, from sharing makeup tutorials to connecting over the stories and experiences of everyday life. I am so obsessed with watching their family life. They have the cutest family. Cezanne and her husband, Stevie, are such couple goals for so many people. And she shares in such an authentic way. We also dive into her story of how finding her relationship with God and how she navigated marrying outside of her culture with the fear of letting her family down, which I completely resonated with. This is my story as well. We both share that we had secret relationships with our now husbands. So this is a conversation about what it really looks like to live a good life and break patterns, doing things differently than your family. Before we get into the episode, I want to remind you that because you guys have been such incredible, loyal fans on the podcast, you know that you are one of my favorite modalities of being able to connect with my community. I want to give you a coupon code for Glossy. You can use the coupon code HAPPY to get 15% off of Glossy Skin and Gut. It's a daily beauty supplement, but you guys, do me a favor, go and read the reviews. Go and read all of the reviews of what it's doing. Don't even let me speak for it. I want you to go and read how people are feeling lighter. They feel like their skin is already glowing. They feel like they have more energy. They feel like they're more regular. They feel like they're sleeping better. Like, go read what this freaking product and probiotics specifically that we have in there. The probiotic that we use has 30 clinical studies on it for immune function, for body composition, for digestion, for nutrient absorption. You guys, go check it out. So go to getglossy.com and you can use the code HAPPY for 15% off. Let's get into the show. Cezanne.
Lori.
We're in person. Like, I can reach out and touch you.
We can literally do this.
So wonderful.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so much better than Zoom.
Oh my gosh. Right? Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yay.
And yes, this is, for me, you're my very first
sit
down video, do the whole thing.
Oh, show, are you serious?
For the podcast. Yeah.
Okay. The pressure is on.
The pressure's on.
Sweater.
Don't mess this
sweating.
Up. Seriously.
Okay. Lawnmower guy, chill out.
Yeah, we have the lawnmower guy who decided to show up right now. So
no,
that's just going to add
so
a little background.
I'm so excited when you reached out to me and were like, hey, I'm going to be in town. What are you doing? I'm like, I literally have no life right now and no plans. And I mean that in the best way. So I'm coming over. So thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, this will be so much fun. And you have been on this wild. I've just been seeing you. You just got back from New York, right?
Yes.
For your book, which you guys is right here.
Oh my gosh.
So exciting. A Real Good Life. Mm-hmm. Discover the simple moments that bring joy, connection, and love. Mm-hmm. And you and your husband, Stevie, have been kind of those people for so many people who I'm sure you hear this all the time, but you probably get like couple goals, right? Like, people want to know how to be like you guys.
Yeah.
How did that even start and why? Like, how did that whole thing start?
It's one of those things, Lori, where if somebody told me that your life was going to go down a path where people were going to be saying couple goals, I would have never thought like, oh, great, sign me up, right? I think it's kind of just turned into something really magical that we've cultivated online for this really special community that started out with a bunch of girls that looked like me that were looking for how to do everyday makeup videos for their skin tones. There wasn't a lot of that stuff out there for more olive skin tone girls of the Middle Eastern descent like myself. And so it started in that. And then I started to really build this really amazing connection with women everywhere. And then I started sharing more of my lifestyle, things I was going through in real time. And what started as beauty quickly transformed into storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, at the heart of what I love to do more than anything. That's what I went to college for. I thought I wanted to do broadcast journalism, telling other people's stories. And God had a different plan and said, nope, we're going to use your life and start sharing the things that you go through, the good, the bad, the hard, the pretty, all of it. And I was able to do it through the social media world, which was not a thing, you know, 15 years ago. Yeah. It's just crazy to see where we are today. And is there literally a fly flying behind me?
There's a little mosquito that I'm watching buzzing by you.
Okay.
If it's driving you nuts, we'll stop and slap it.
It's not, but I'm like, if it's going to affect your like close-up cuts, you know, I know how this world works.
It's like about to land on your face.
Anyways, it would happen to me, but I mean, that's real. This is a real good life right now today with the mosquitoes. But going back to what I was saying, I think for Stevie and I, we've just loved the opportunity we've had to just get to show up every day. It's not easy, as you know, stepping onto these public platforms, especially in the climate of everything that goes on in the world. There's hard stuff going on in the midst of us sharing our pretty picture perfect lives. And I think Stevie and I realized that if we are, you know, if our goal is to storytell and just be a beacon of light for people, then we need to be real. We need to share just the things that we're going through as we're living it out. And so what I've learned about a good life is that good and hard can coexist. And sometimes when we are looking at the billboards, we're looking at the magazine ads or hearing the podcast, you hear that, like, you know, the good life is picture perfect. It's kind of like that Kanye West song where it's about the cars and the money and the houses and the luxury and the fine things in life. And those things are great. But I think a real good life, it is those simple things that sometimes we look back on and we say, oh my gosh, I miss that. I want more of that. I need to go and just kind of remove myself from the bubble that I'm in to go spend time with the people that I love. So a good life is not just internal, it's external. It's what we're putting out into the world. It's how we're loving others and showing up for others. And so that's honestly what we feel like we're guinea pigs at. We haven't figured, like, we're not experts at it. I don't think anybody is when it comes to life, but Stevie and I just genuinely, through our podcast, what we've learned is, like, let's go on the journey and really figure out what it means to cultivate a life that you can love every day, despite not being where you want to be.
I'm going to deep dive into all of that, because living a good life is so layered. Like, you have to even figure out what the heck that even means for you.
Yes.
But I want to go back to something that you said, because you talked about loving telling stories and really having that kind of be the thing that your community grabbed onto. Were you always good at telling stories, or have you learned how to tell stories, and can you help us tell a better story?
Yeah. You know what I've realized just since, like, just through my research and through experiences that I've had, what I've learned, even if you go way back into the ancient days before there was even books or podcasts, I think what connected humans were the abilities to share stories, whether it was around a table. You know, that was kind of like, if you really look back, and even in a lot of cultures today, like my own, you know, preparing a meal is like an all day thing. It's like a real thing that back in those days, you would have to hunt for your food. Every single family member had a role. And what food allowed was to bring people around a table. And then what happens? Conversations. And so while we're living in a world today where it feels a little bit harder to do that because of, like, the distractions and the noise and the social media and just our busy schedules, I just think that we are kind of like losing touch, and we're losing sight of just how important that is. To storytelling is a conversation. It is sharing experiences that you've gone through. And I feel like I've never been an expert at writing. And here I am writing a book, but it took me 5 years to write for a reason.
That's great.
But if you even read the book, it feels very conversational. It's like, I think so often we get in our heads about how we should express ourselves, or how we should share our stances on certain things, or how do we share our heart. But that's the thing I think I've learned, is when you are just coming from a place of just being authentic, if you can come to the end of yourself and just say, hey, I'm going to just be completely myself, all the imperfections included, and just sit with somebody and have real conversations. I think that's where some of the doubt leaves the room, some of the worry, some of the insecurities of like, oh my God, what if I say something wrong or I offend them? And I think we just need to get back to the heart of like why we love people and why we want to connect with people about various topics. And just experiences teach us things. And so if you can sit and have a conversation, that becomes a beautiful experience. And that's what I love about social media. I think being in it now for a decade, that's like why I'm still in it. It's not so much to like grow anymore. Like, I mean, you know, when you think, oh, well, once I hit that millions of followers, then I would have lived a good life. Then I would have experienced a good life. It's like, I've hit a lot of those things. And what I've learned is that for me, it's just really about like every day, if I have to do this, I just have to connect with people. Like that's what brings me joy. My joy is the connection that the online platforms allow us to have with people from all parts of the world. Can you imagine if Jesus had that opportunity?
Oh my gosh.
Like if he got to just like get on Instagram and be able to talk to all of the nations near and far, or anyone really back in those days, there's beauty in that. But then there's also, it's also the toxic trait sometimes too. Social media for me, it's like, I need to know when to really turn it off and go and live life offline. And so I think the two for me have become interwoven, because I don't want to live a life online that does not mirror the life that I'm living offline, because it's just too hard to keep up with. It's just really hard to curate perfection. And I think if anybody out there is like, I want to be a storyteller, or I just want to be better at walking into a room and there's a big group of people there that I don't know, I want to be able to be better at just being able to walk up and talk to people, I would just say, like, you know, focus on the direction of your heart, not the perfection. I think that's something that we all get really caught up in today, is that everything that we do, everything that we say has to be perfect, when all you have to do is just show up, know that your heart is pointed in the right place, and just follow that as your North Star, and just really trust that. And so anyone who wants to walk into a room, and I challenge you to do that and meet some new people, just literally just be yourself, and don't be afraid to like say things that you're going to feel like, oh God, should I have said that? Was that dumb? We are not made to filter ourselves out like we are some Instagram post in real life. Like, you just have to be yourself and be authentic in that. And I think you really can't do any wrong when you're truthfully authentic in who you are.
I think what's so beautiful about you and you know, this community that you've cultivated is through, instead of telling people what to do, you really show your story.
Thank you.
And share stories. And it can be, as you know, someone in business and creating content, you can get really caught up in thinking that you need to know it all and you have to teach people things. But you being able to just tell stories and show through your experience is really where that community gets really close to you.
It's crazy when you think about it, Lori, because I know you're in the social media space too. Like, it's like every single day when we wake up, we realize that there is this little phone, right, that's staring at us, that's calling our names. And sometimes we say, not today, you know, like enough is enough. But there's this power in that calling when we can check in to these places and spaces where you can really just inspire people through your day to day. Like, my life is not glamorous in this current season of my life. I am in the thick of my postpartum mom era, and I am nursing a child. I've got a 5-year-old who started kindergarten. So on my actual day to day, I'm in the thick of living life. Mm. I've got my sleeves rolled up and I am raising kids while managing a business. And I'm trying to also make sure I feed and fuel my marriage. And it's all of these things that as women, I think sometimes we put this pressure on ourselves and we're like, oh my God, I have to be the best mom and the best wife and the best entrepreneur. We, I think, are wired to be able to do all of the things.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's also been knowing like, hey, it's important that while we check in online and we check back in offline, it's like tapping in and out, that we also are very much in tune with what our mind, body, spirit needs in that current season of our life. And so if it means saying no more, because you've just been saying yes to all the things,
totally.
There's power in saying no. And we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. It's like when you can really say no, it doesn't mean that I think that you're giving up on opportunities. It actually means that you're making room for more. And so I have found that if what we can all do, even today, is like, look at your life from an aerial perspective and just audit. Let's audit what a good life looks like for you in this current season. Now, 6 months down the line, that might change. But in this season of your life right now, if you look down like an aerial perspective and you say, okay, I want to cultivate a good life, a life that I can love every day. So what are the things in my life? What are those mountains? And I think those mountains being the challenges, because we all have them, whether they're big or small, or some of them are just a little bit more like the plains. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for some of us, that mountain, it could be our personal health. It could be something that we just haven't paid attention to. We haven't been feeding and fueling that. Another mountain for some of you, maybe your marriage is suffering, or it's just in a season of drought and you need to water the seed. And then for other people, it's maybe this mountain of self-doubt. Like, maybe you have this dream that's been tucked away in your heart, but you won't do it because of all of the things that have somehow convinced you that you're not good enough to press go, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to challenge everybody to look at that life, audit that life, and say, well, first I'll start with these mountains, right? Let me, you know, settle my worth here. And we talk about that in the book, like settling your worth. You really have to understand that at the start of every day when you wake up, what I've learned is that, you know, you really have to understand who you are and what you were made for. And you have to be able to debunk the lies that are constantly trying to tell you things every day. They're trying to convince you of things that are not true. And I believe if you can start with the mountains, which are the challenges in your life, and just tackle those mountains while knowing your worth, you're pretty solid. And then you can start to add things into your good life. I kind of see life as a charcuterie board. Does that
good.
Sound silly?
This is delicious.
I mean, it's going to have a hodgepodge of things on there, and it's all going to have different flavors and different richness and different textures and colors. And I think that's what life should be. It should look a little different than somebody else's charcuterie life. You know what I mean? It's
totally.
Not two boards are going to look the same. And there's beauty in that. And so I just want to encourage everybody to understand that the challenges we have, we all have them and we all have to face them. But you can also enjoy your life while you're chasing those goals and those challenges. And just don't forget it. Don't forget those simple things that bring you that everyday joy.
Hey, y'all, if you didn't know, Earn Your Happy is now a part of the Growth Day Podcast Network. This is so exciting to me because I have been looking for a really good home for the show for, I can't even tell you, years, literally. And now I've finally been able to come together and collaborate with other people who have incredible shows, and I want to share them with you. One of the shows is Motivation with Brennan Bouchard. And you guys, if you don't know about the beginning of my career, I literally started with Brennan Bouchard's work. It's how I launched one of my very first online courses and membership sites, was because he gives so much advice that you can integrate and implement immediately. And that's what you're going to get on the show. Not just motivation, but you're going to learn exactly how to get your stuff out in the world. And not just that, but Brennan runs in the most incredible group of humans who are really doing the thing out in the world that you want to be doing. So go check it out. Go subscribe to Motivation with Brennan Bouchard. I promise you, this is going to be one of those shows that
no matter when you tune in, you're going to get value. Like, it's not one of those that you're like, God, I listened for 30 minutes and I didn't get what I wanted. Like, from the beginning, you're going to get something that changes your life or changes your business. So go check it out, Motivation with Brendon Burchard. I know you're gonna love it. I'm obsessed.
So you mentioned a lot of what you just chatted about comes from, you know, figuring out who you are and knowing why you're here. How did you figure that out? Were you ever in a place, can you tell me a story about when you did not know who you were and what were you doing?
Oh, yes. I mean, when I was 21 years old, and now I'm 34, but when I was 21, that was the time in my life where I hit, you know, a really dark place. I had been in a relationship with somebody for a long time at that point. It was my first relationship. Thought I was going to marry this guy and, you know, was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my future. I feel like, you know, around that age, 20, 21 is when you're really starting to feel this fire up your butt. That's like, you better figure out, you need to know what is it that you want to do with your life? You know, where is it that you're going to graduate school? You feel all of this pressure when you're younger. And so I was definitely like in the thick of figuring out, what is it that I want to do? And why does my heart feel this way? I was sad. I was heartbroken and I did not know how to navigate through the pain. Mm. And I come from a family, a very loving, big family. But the way that I was raised was just kind of like, you've got to pick yourself up and you've got to keep going. And that was this tough love that I didn't need to hear in that season of my life. It was like, I was just searching. I was searching for answers to figure out like, why is it that my foundation of happiness feels like it's just been completely rocked? Like, and so I was in college at the University of North Texas studying radio, TV, film, which is what I thought, you know, I'm just going to focus on my studies. And that's where I met my husband, who at the time was not by any means my type or somebody.
I think
who
we
I
talked about this
for.
At dinner before. We were like, oh yeah, no, I didn't know
I didn't.
That was going to be the person.
And the reason was because I think so often we have these ideas and these expectations for our life. Like,
totally.
Oh no, my life has to be a certain way. And for me at that age, you know, my family's approval meant everything to me. I come from a very big Kurdish family, very loving family. But in that season of my life, I didn't want to do the things that like my parents wanted. They wanted me to become a lawyer. And I'm thinking, no, I like to talk, but I don't think I could literally be in a courtroom and defend one side when I would probably try to see mercy and grace in the other side.
They're I'm just like, this is not working. You're helping
and
the other
so,
person win.
Yeah. And so I think my parents just had goals and expectations for their kids. And now that I'm a parent, I get it. I look at my children and I'm like, I want the best for you, you know? But for me in that season of life, I had all this creativity. I had all of this, like these unanswered questions. I was lost. And I didn't really find answers and truth in my household. Mm. You know, I didn't find those answers from my parents. And so I was searching for more. And that's when I met my husband in college. And he just became such a great friend to me. And I, not only him, but the entire group of friends I met in college in that season of life. And I went on that journey for myself of asking that question, like, okay, what is happiness really? And how can I create a foundation of happiness that isn't going to come and fall to the ground like it just did in this previous season of my life? Like, and so I was so inspired by people like Stevie who had this foundation of happiness that was not built on the ways of the world, but it was really built on his faith. And that's where I started asking those questions deep within myself of like, you know, who's God and what does that mean to have a relationship with God? And I started getting those answers and it was all through my dreams. It was really crazy. I was having these radical encounters in my dream.
Just from starting to ask the question.
Yes.
Were you asking it frequently, like every day, or what did that look like?
It was a season of life that I was in. And so it was one night I went, and I've always been somebody who grew up in a house where we believed in a higher being. Like there's just...
Was there a name to it, or was it just like
it was God? It was like you believe in God, you know. And then I had family members who, you know, were like Muslims. I had family members who even were Christian, you know, yeah. Like I had that all sprinkled out throughout my family bloodline, but it was not so much talked about. In my immediate family, though, there was never going to church or even a mosque or anything like that. It was just like my parents believed in God. They believed in God's higher being and his power. But when I was 20 years old and I was going through all the things and I was looking for answers, I just was like, well, God, where are you? Like, I don't get it.
Because you didn't feel it. Like, you didn't have the relationship. Did he feel far away?
Yes.
What did that?
Okay. For me, it was like God was up here, right? It felt like.
Was it a fearful thing too?
Yes. Or, okay. It was very, I feared God, but I didn't know him. Mm. And I knew that like there is a such thing as God, but I knew that he was not available to me in the sense where people talk about how you can have a close proximity with God. I didn't understand that. And it was not, my parents definitely always taught us like you can be close to God. You know, you should have to pray. And my parents are definitely spirit filled. I believe that. But as a young girl, I never grew up with that understanding like, okay, well, how do I access that? How do I, there was not a religion or anything. Yeah, there was, okay. It was just more like my parents showed their incredible love for people and for life through their hospitality. Like I always say, like hospitality is a ministry. And I believe the Kurds, like hospitality is in a sense become the ministry of our people, because inviting people in over a meal to eat, that's how my parents were growing up. And so for them, generosity was the biggest thing. And so I definitely had that, you know, but I was talking about like when I became like in my 20s, like I'm lost. I don't know which way to go. What do you do at that point? You're at that fork in the road where you're like, do I go to people for answers? Do I go to drugs and alcohol? Do I go to like, where do you go when, you know, you've come to the end of yourself genuinely? Mm. And coming to the end of yourself is something that I have now since becoming a believer of Christ. Like I still come to the end of myself every single day. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, but it's like in that season of life, I came to the end of myself and I said, what do I do now? I was genuinely lost with a white flag. Like, help, I surrender. Like, I need more. There's more to this life than what I am able to achieve on my own. And I think that's when I started to ask those questions. I started to pray and ask God directly instead of doing the prayer that I always did as a little girl, which was like, please keep my family safe. And I hope for good health for these people. It was
totally
the same
prayer. I had a memorized prayer.
And so I finally was like, screw the memorized prayer. Okay. Yeah. And I said, hey, God. And that was what broke the chain for me. It was those two words, hey, God. And I said, hey, God, I don't know if you've heard me my whole life. I don't even know really like who you are, but like, I'm just lost and I'm searching for answers in this season of my life. I just want to do good in my life. I don't want to make the wrong mistakes. Like, help me. And it was that night in my dreams, I had it, you know, I was in like this, what looked like this beautiful home church kind of a thing. It wasn't like a traditional church, but I was amongst this body of people and I just had my hands in the air and I was worshiping. I was just like looking up and worshiping Jesus's name. And so that changed my life. Mm. That changed everything. And when I said Stevie wasn't my type, it was because I knew that he wasn't going to be accepted into my family at that time. Him being an American, like, it was really important for my family to continue to ingrain those values in us that were like, you're Kurdish, you know? And if you know about the Kurds, like, we are a people group that we've suffered under the hands of horrible regimes and genocides. And so all we really have is like, you think like our culture and our community. And so my parents feared that we would lose sight of that, I think, if their kids married outside of the culture. But when Stevie came into my life and I knew that like God was doing something through this man that I just could not get rid of, I really had to submit and I had to lean into the thing that scared me the most, which was walking into a life that I knew was not going to be a life that was something that I was going to choose for myself. Because if it was up to me, I would have chosen that really perfect life that wouldn't have upset my family. Mm. It wouldn't have upset others. And I could have just lived a very comfortable, simple life, right? That was what my thought process was in that time. But God was just like, don't you see? I have such a bigger, more, I don't know, exciting life in store for you. And guess what? Don't worry about your family. I always felt like that I was responsible for the pain of others. And I always felt like, oh, I don't want to hurt other people through my
responsibility.
Actions, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that God just gave me this peace. And it wasn't an overnight thing, but it was really a journey of trusting where I had to let go and really like surrender every area of my life that I was trying to control bit by bit, department by department, career, relationship, family. Mm. I had to surrender it all. And I think when I finally laid it down, I saw that there's actually strength in surrendering. Mm-hmm. There's beauty in the midst of chaos. Like when you can just let go, it doesn't mean you're weak. It just means you're giving it to something that truly is greater than you. And for me, I've seen through my walk, and I hope my life shares is just that testament, because I've shared it online in those seasons. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just think that, I don't know, we weren't designed to have to do it all on our own in life. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't designed to have to curate this good life by ourselves and to have to figure it out alone. Yes, there's practical things that we can do every day. And I think that we are given a free will for a reason. We're not puppets. God doesn't see us as puppets to be like, hey, you know, like, I'm just going to orchestrate your life for you. No, like, that's what I learned about that whole relationship with God, was that it's relational. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And God gives me this free will every day where I get to wake up and make decisions that are good. And how do you decide what's good? That's where you ask yourself, like, okay, what is good? The world says this is good. Like, how are you going to discern what a good life is for you? For me, it has to be a God-filled life. And so for me, that means, okay, there's certain things I have to do every day to jumpstart my day. I have to have my quiet time. I need to sit with my kids. I just need to love on others. Like, those are all simple things, but important things. Mm. And it's just really helped me, I think, be able to let go of the things that I can't control and start really owning the things that I can, knowing that God is fueling everything behind me and like beside me. And that just gives me the confidence in this world today to just keep going, you know, because it's a heavy world. It's a hard world, but there's always still good. If God's in it, it's always going to stay good, you know, despite it being hard. So keep going. That's been, I think, the through line for me in my walk as an influencer, as somebody who had to get married to somebody while also having to be disconnected from her family at the same time. And also now as a mom, I'm trying to help my kids navigate through this scary world. And I can't do it by my own will and my own strength. I just cannot. There's no way I was created to do that. So I really have to give the glory to God on that and just share with others, because I think sometimes we live in a world where you can't say those three words. You can't talk about God. And I think if you, whether it's in business or in your personal life, it's just, I think God is in all of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to share that part of yourself. And that's what this book inspired me to just do, is just pour it all out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, anybody listening who, you know, because I come from a really religious background, and I think anyone who that has a bit of trauma to it as well, but I've been able to find what that version is, whether you use the word God or whether you use a different word. It's like, I don't know how to tell people how to live a good life, like your book says, without having something at the foundation
intuitive,
of it. Yeah. Otherwise it feels so lonely. And so much of what you said is talking about how you'll be guided once you connect with that, or once you get that relationship with God, which that was, you like had me super misty-eyed when you were just saying how you changed your conversation from, imagine if like you wanted a relationship with your husband, but you said the same thing to him every single day. He'd like tune out. He'd leave. He'd be like, oh, dude, I can't have you say this exact thing. Yeah. And so that moment of, how would you have that conversation with that person if you really wanted to get close to that person? What would you ask? What would you say? What would you share? How would you really feel? And so that was just a beautiful thing that people can start with. That's a really easy, tangible
simple thing to just say. And so, you know, when we're trying to make a good life, I'm hearing a theme of it's not always going to feel good though. So we think of this life that we want, and to get there, I know personally, I have struggled. Living a good life doesn't always feel good. In fact, it feels really challenging, but I've also had to kind of, what I'm hearing in your theme, blow a lot of things up or go against my family's beliefs. And during that, that is hard.
Yeah.
So tell me about what that really looks like when you're about to break patterns from your family and your friends and the way things are. Tell me that feeling when you're like figuring out what your path really looks like and now implementing it.
Yeah. I think when I look back on that season of life, I just remembered that it felt like, you know, when you've done everything that you can do by your own will, like you're at the end of this, it feels like you're at the end of a mountain.
You have nothing left.
And now you're looking down and it's a pretty steep, and there's literally like, you just are like, I got to jump. And the longer that you stand there at the edge of that mountain and you just look down, the harder it is going to be to actually jump. And, you know, cue the anxiety and the disbelief and the doubt, and then the wanting to run away from the edge. And I think for me, that moment of ripping the Band-Aid off, that jump for me was what I was going through with my family, and knowing that I had this life over here that I knew God was going to bless. I saw this life. I saw a glimpse of it through the eyes of like this beautiful love that I was experiencing with Stevie, this unexpected love story. And I was trying so hard to have one foot in and one foot out.
Oh, that is hard.
It was really hard because there were days where, you know, I just felt like I'm never going to see it. I'm never going to get to that point. I'm never going to have the courage.
Where you can like tell your family, you're saying.
Yeah. It's like I can never do it. I play out all the scenarios in my head.
And they never went well.
I was dating him in secrecy for years. And I said, the longer we were in secrecy, the harder it was getting. And I just remember it was the summer we were in LA. Steve and I were both trying to also chase our dreams and our hustle on the side while this real life stuff was happening. And I remember sitting in the car with him and he said, you know, the only way for this relationship of ours to even be blessed, right? To see the life that we want to see the fruit come from a good this life, is we have to walk in our truth. You have to be honest. So it's really hard.
Ouch.
It was really hard, right? It's really hard to be able to grow in any area of your life if you're not completely honest with yourself, but also for me in that season with others.
We share that in common, by the way. Chris was a secret.
There you go. And I think for so many women, I think, and even whether it's family cultural barriers or not, it's just there's something about not wanting to tell everybody because you may not even know if this person is the one. That was my other thing, was like, well, I was waiting for Stevie to just do something dumb so I could be like, nope. And I mean, he does a lot of dumb stuff, but I meant like, I was just waiting for Stevie to really like, and it was such a weird way of thinking about it. I was like, I'm waiting for him to fail me.
Interesting.
And I'm like, what is going
on? It's
like
self-sabotage. Because you just didn't want to. What were you afraid of with your family? That you would be rejected? I know with mine, because it was a religious thing. Mm-hmm. Chris wasn't in the religion. Mm-hmm. So I was so afraid that I was choosing between him or my family.
That's what it was for me too. It was never, my parents were never, when I told my parents, I became a Christian before I was in a deep relationship with Stevie. Like we were friends, but like I was more on that journey of like understanding my walk, and I was getting to know this Jesus guy, right? I was getting to know Jesus in the midst of like having this friendship with Stevie. So it was never like I fell in love with Stevie and therefore in order to be with him, right? Like in my story, I thought there's some people who've said or thought like you converted to become a Christian because you just wanted to be with Stevie. And I think we do see that in a lot of cultures and religions. But for me, genuinely, I was falling madly in love with Jesus. And while I was getting to know Jesus, it was crazy how things and the ways that I was wired and the things that I thought, the self-sabotage, all of that, I started to realize, wait, this is not the way. And as I was surrendering and letting those things go, I was falling in love with Stevie, and I was like mad about it because I was like, no, I can't because I'm afraid of disappointing my family. And I did not want to lose them. Family is everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you believe. You'll sit around your Thanksgiving table this year and everyone's going to have different beliefs, different stances on things, different hair colors. I mean, everyone's so different and unique. There's nothing wrong with that. I think for me, though, I was just afraid that this means that my whole life I wanted to live for making my parents proud. Mm. And this decision of marrying somebody outside of my culture, I knew that wasn't going to make them proud. In fact, it was going to break their hearts. Mm. And I didn't want to do that because I loved them. But it felt like a mountain that was too big for me to climb and conquer alone. And so it was like I was at the edge of that mountain and I had to jump. And the jump for me was ripping the Band-Aid off, Stevie and I knowing that we needed to walk in our truth, and finally setting a date on the calendar where I would tell my parents.
Okay, this is what I was wondering. I'm like, what does this tangibly look like? Because that feels so scary when you're like, it's on Wednesday.
Okay, and that's what I did, Lori. I said, we sat in the car, we were in LA, and he said, it was going back to what Steve said. He said, we have to walk in our truth, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, he was so supportive the whole way. And he said, I want to propose to you by the end of this year. Like, that's a dream. But I just can't do it until we are honest with your family. Like, they deserve to know, no matter, we know the answer. We know they're not going to approve, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to be honest.
Right.
How is God going to bless something if, like, we just can't be honest? How is he even going to be able to begin the healing process if we're not being honest? Mm-hmm. Because we cared about my family and it wasn't fair that they didn't know. So we set for Thanksgiving break. At the time, I was going back to Dallas, where I'm from, to go have Thanksgiving break. And I said, you know what? That'll be the perfect time. Everyone will be together. I'll find at some point, I'll tell them. Like, I put it in the calendar.
Okay.
So Thanksgiving break rolls around. And I'll just say that was August when we had that conversation in the car.
Oh, so you have like a lot of months to tell them.
So think about that was August. And then November was like, okay, by Thanksgiving, latest Thanksgiving, you're telling them. If you haven't, on Thanksgiving break, you will tell them.
At Thanksgiving dinner,
you're going to tell them. Right? And here's where the story gets crazy, is that from that time, August to November, because I knew that there was going to be an end to this, that there was going to be a jump happening, the anxiety was at its peak.
Totally.
The fear was at its peak. I was just like, I lost so much weight. The internet world didn't even know about it. Talk about living two separate lives. They didn't know. I was still doing makeup videos, tutorials, but in my real life, I was dealing with real pain of like, oh my gosh, I'm literally 24 years old, about to do the scariest thing I've ever had to do. And I'm going to lose my family because of it. And I look at Stevie and I'm like, you feel so bad, but like, you're amazing. Like, how, why is this even a thing? Like, there's all of these things just swirling around in my head. And it was honestly the biggest leap of faith I'd had to take in my walk at that point. So I go home for Thanksgiving and I remember I hadn't done it yet. And I remember sitting around the Thanksgiving table and I had this like out of body realization. I don't know if it was all of just the torment I had put myself through up to that point, but I just looked around the room. I looked around the table and I looked at each and every single one of my family members' faces. And I really wanted to get a good look at their faces because I thought to myself, if this is going to be the last Thanksgiving I ever get with my family again, then I want to enjoy it. Mm. And it makes me emotional even saying this now, because when you're at that place where you're just like, there's no hope, you know? I felt like that. There's no hope. Mm. But little did I know that God was going to do something radical in my story and in my family's hearts. It took a while, but he did. There was still good in the midst of hard. If I could go back to that dinner table moment and that moment is freeze framed, I would go and say, Saz, don't look at it this way. Don't look at it this way. There is still good in the midst of hopelessness, God is going to use this and he is going to do something so amazing inside of each and every single one of these family members' hearts around this table. And while it's a dark season that you're in right now, and it's a hard season, what you're about to do, girl, it's going to be so, so hard. Like, time out. God is going to use this for good. You're going to have three amazing kids and your family is going to embrace them and it's going to love them. But rewind back to that moment. You're in that moment and it's hard to see the good when you're facing those really hard times, when you're in the thick of it. And so I didn't tell them that Thanksgiving. I went back to LA and I told Steve, I'm so sorry I let you down. I am a failure. I feel horrible. I just couldn't do it. And he looked at me and he said, it wasn't God's time. He didn't want you to do it for whatever reason. And he said, we're gonna get there. And I remember telling him, I said, no, I have to get there. At this point now, it felt like this, this thing inside of me that's like, I cannot be... this is robbing me of like joy and sleep. And I'm tired of being a prisoner to this lie. Like, and so I just said, finally, I said, look, I went to God again and said, hey God, I said, look, when you nudge me, I want you to make it so clear. I want to feel like your presence, like when I should do it, it's going to be so like, this is it. You're not backing down. Can you do that for me, God? And I remember this was 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. My dad came to LA. He was in town. And out of everybody in my family, the one person I feared the most to disappoint was my father. I let my dad into the apartment gate downstairs. When I walked in, opened the door, he gave me a hug. And just like that, I was winded by the heavenly father. While I'm hugging my earthly father, right? I felt that wind, that real nudge. It wasn't a nudge. It was more like a punch. Like, you're doing it. Tonight's the night. And that was it. My dad, it was a conversation that we had. It was hard, but it was like a father and a father and his child, right? We had that moment where we sat in that living room. There was a lot of surface level conversation and I was like sweating. I was like, where is this going? So I'm gonna go to the bathroom real quick. I went to the bathroom. And for me, it was my small LA apartment, going into the bathroom and I'm like looking at myself in the mirror, putting water on my face. And I'm just like, God, I know I have to do this, but like I was wrestling even in that moment. I knew I had to do it. But why did it feel like this is so hard? It's like doing the thing that you don't. It felt like I was like having to like chop off a leg or something, you know, and I'm like, I know I have to do it. But like, and it was in that moment, I just got on my hands and my knees in my room and I just said, this is it, God. I said, you have all of me now. There is no more one foot in, one foot out. I really, truly have to trust that when I jump off of this mountain right now, you're going to catch me. And if that is like the whole thing of faith, is you can't see it, but you have to believe it. And I had that moment there. That was that real, like, that's it. I'm jumping. And as soon as I had that, like, coming to Jesus all over again moment of really surrendering, I remember walking out into that room. Something changed in my posture. The decision hadn't changed. Like, it was still going to be hard. I knew the aftermath, but something came over me like this supernatural peace. Like, you're going to do this and you've got this. And I did it. I told my dad and it just kind of came out like word vomit. So like, just imagine a conversation you're having and you're just like, how's it going to go in my head? And it was just something my dad had said about like how he had seen my life. He was like, I imagine like your life to be, you know, I want to build you a house and just tuck away and all my kids can live together in one house. And I'm like, that's great, Dad, but I found somebody and I love him.
And I said,
that was the window. And that was the window. The gates just opened up. And after that, there was no more lies. The enemy could not lurk. And that was it. And then my life, I feel like from that moment on, God just continued to do things like that. And now I can genuinely say I'm living a life that is honest and it's not perfect, but there's always room for good despite the hard things that you go through.
That story is, I'm so grateful that you shared it, because whether someone's dealing with that
in their religion or having to leave a career or tell their parents they're not going to follow through on their college degree or whatever that mm-hmm. looks like. You described it in detail of exactly how every story for my life has gone as well. It's like the anxiety that's leading up to it, all the fear that we place on ourselves. And I would say that I feel like I'm going to put words into your mouth, but now you understand it's so much better to get that anxiety out faster.
Yes.
Because we're just doing it to ourselves when we have, and now that you know that that faith is going to pull through, that you are going to always be helped on the other side as long as you are following what you know in your heart is yeah. meant to be. I'm just so, so grateful that you took us on that journey, because everybody can refer back to that and know that that is such a normal feeling. And in order to live a good life, you sometimes have to totally shake things up and yeah. you have to go through these really challenging yeah. things. And yeah. a good life doesn't always mean it's the good life that your family had hoped for you mm. or the good life that you grew up thinking it was supposed to be.
That's right.
It's like breaking those patterns and figuring it out. So I'm so yeah. grateful for you today. This was so fun.
Yes.
Like that was so beautiful for me.
Thank you guys for letting me share that. It was, we talk about, you know, the book, A Good Life, but it's a real good life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that word real is really just discovering what that means for you, like knowing who you are and what you were made for. Mm. And it's not always going to be easy. It's going to be hard. You're going to disappoint some people along the way. But in good faith, you have to believe. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that there's always good waiting for you on the other side of a challenge. So like you said, hurry up and get through it. Pull the Band-Aid off. The quicker you can do that and obey that, I think, like that calling, the quicker the blessing is waiting mm. on the other side.
I love that. Okay, so you Yay. Go into some really beautiful, tangible things in the book as well as some incredible stories. Where can we find it? Where can we follow you? Tell us all the things.
Yes, well, you can get the book everywhere books are sold. Oh my God, I never thought I'd say that. It's crazy. And then follow me online, Suzanne. I told her before, I was like, you know, like Satan, but with a Z.
Suzanne,
S-A-Z-A-N. You can go online, follow me there, and we just dive into all the things, life, kids, motherhood, business, mm-hmm. just all of it. We're just getting real with all of it. So mm-hmm. follow along, and thanks for having me.
I'm so grateful that you came. You guys, one of the biggest things that we can do for our guest is to, of course, go buy her book, because she took 5 years and all of her love and all of these incredible things all put into this book. Also, go follow her and give her a shout out. Let her know what your biggest takeaway was. And on top of that, you guys, we held back some super amazing advice for you from Suzanne. She is going to share her top 3 tips on how she wins her day every day, no matter what. So all you have to do is go to the link in the show notes to get her top 3 tips. Hey, I know if you're listening to this podcast that you have big dreams and big goals. And one of the things that can really stop you is struggling with your marketing. Trust me, I have been there. Are you using 10 different systems just to build your online business? Then I want you to try Kajabi. Kajabi helps you build your web pages, set up funnels, and sell your courses, content, coaching, or communities. You've been hearing me talk a lot about funnels on this podcast and the importance of your email list. You can get a free trial at Kajabi.com. That's Kajabi.com. I've talked about Kajabi before, but here's something that's super cool and new. They just rolled out an AI assistant for creating your online course curriculum. And this means you just type in a topic that you want to create on a course or webinar and bam, it just generates a sample outline for you. It takes a ton of the hard work away. Of course, you're going to customize it to be your own, but this really helps you get over the struggle of how in the world to start, which is where most people stop. If you're like me, starting is always the hardest part, and that's what makes Kajabi so popular. They've made it easier for creators to build web pages, build courses, build coaching programs, build membership sites, build checkout pages, and build email funnels. So if you're struggling with any of those, you gotta go check it out. Go to Kajabi.com. Kajabi was really the first all-in-one system and is trusted by over 100,000 creators. I think that's good enough for me. Also, as influencers and marketers who use this. And now their smart AI platform makes it easy to take what you know and turn it into an online course and business. Go start building with a free trial at Kajabi.com. That's Kajabi.com.
Hey, do you know what the big secret is this year? And it shouldn't be a secret because this should be your biggest focus. It is building your community. I am always working on building and nurturing my community, and everyone is talking about the power of community. Without an online community, you just cannot grow organically or create a real movement, which is what I know that we're all after. And you can build trust or monetize your audience. When you get community right, not only does your audience grow faster, but so do your sales. But where's everybody going to be managing their communities these days? And a lot of online entrepreneurs and thought leaders are turning to Circle.so. Circle is an all-in-one community platform. It lets you host content and create discussions, live streams, group chats, and memberships all under your own brand. And what's so cool about Circle.so is that you don't even need a website or Facebook group. Instead, Circle lets you build your own community site where you can host content and manage your members. You can even create locked and unlocked content spaces, groups, and classes. How freaking cool is that? You can put your content behind a paywall too, and you can charge different amounts of money for different spaces on your community site. Circle.so is famously easy to use, and it has a free 14-day trial for you, so you can go check it out, see if you like it, see if you love all the options. Just go to circle.so. Go check it out right now, you guys. Imagine being able to manage your community, start group chats and live classes, and accept payments all in one place. Kind of mind-blowing since this is usually spread all over the place. You have to log into so many different things. If this is the year to capture, organize, and monetize your community, head over to circle.so. You can get a free trial and start building your online community right now. Just go to circle.so. You guys, you get the 14-day free trial. So just go and see if it's for you. It's going to streamline everything and make your life so much easier. It's so freaking cool.